Please remain standing. We'll read the second half of that story in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 28 and reading through verse 46. John 11, verse 28. Hear God's word. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen straps, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Thus far God's word. Please be seated. Lord, open our hearts by your Spirit to hear and to truly understand, to see with the eyes of faith that the Lord Jesus truly can raise the dead. Amen. How many of you have been told or been taught that Jesus' miracles demonstrate his deity? That they prove the fact that he is truly God. This is true. They do. It even says here that it showed that he was sent by God. The miracles do, in fact, prove that Jesus is God. And that he came sent by the Father. And that he came to do the will of the Father. But the miracles don't just prove his deity. They don't just show that he is the Son of God. They do more than that. Jesus could have done all kinds of things that in and of themselves would have proved that he was truly God. But the miracles do more. You see, the miracles are connected to the work that Jesus came to do. He came to be the Savior. And so the miracles demonstrate what kind of a Savior he is. He opens the eyes of the blind man to show that he came to open our spiritually blinded eyes. He raised up the paralytic, the man who was paralyzed, and gave him strength in his legs to show us that he can heal us of our spiritual inability to come to him. And so Lazarus is not just raised to prove that Jesus is God. Lazarus is raised to show that Christ came to raise dead sinners to life again. You need to see in this story of Lazarus being raised from the dead your own resurrection from deadness in sin. You need to see that Jesus came to raise you from the dead. As he said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. This story is written for us, so that we may see ourselves in it and believe in Jesus. So come and see Lazarus in the tomb. See Lazarus come forth from the tomb and see how Jesus came to raise dead people like yourself. Let's look first at Lazarus' death. The sickness, Jesus says, was not to death. Or was it? Jesus had good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He loved them. Lazarus became sick. The sisters sent a message to Jesus, who they knew had power to heal the sick. He had healed thousands of sick. And they said to him, Jesus, your friend Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. They thought he would come and heal him. Jesus replies that this sickness is not to end in death, but for God's glory, and so that the Son of God would be glorified by it. And then he waits for 2 days. And finally, at the end, he says, let's go to Judea. He encourages the disciples, come with me. And they respond, death. Jesus, if you go there, they'll kill you. Don't you know that they want to stone you? You see the direction this story is headed is death. Death for Lazarus, death for Jesus. Jesus responds, Lazarus has fallen asleep and we need to go wake him up. But the disciples say, sleeping men wake up on their own. You don't need to go, you'll be killed. Jesus says, you don't get it. You don't get where this story is going. He's already dead. So Thomas says, let's go and die with Jesus. We're being drawn into a pattern of death. All the while, Jesus is saying that it doesn't have to end in death. But there's death. Lazarus dead in the tomb for 4 days. And then we hear death again from Martha. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Mary again in verse 32, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They're all overcome with death. And they're surrounded by mourners. All the Jews who had come to visit, all of them overcome with death. Now we get this. We've all lost loved ones. We've been overcome with the grief, the loss of a dear friend, someone whom we love and who loved us. And what do you do when that loved one dies? You're reminded of your helplessness. You could do nothing to stop that cancer from spreading or that accident from happening. And furthermore, we're helpless. We can do nothing to bring this person back. And at the time, seemingly nothing to fill the gaping hole left in our hearts, in our lives, and our friends' passing. And Jesus, too, almost seems overwhelmed by death. He, too, was moved by his friend's death. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Is he, too, overwhelmed by death? He asks to see his friend's grave, to draw nearer to death. He says, he asks to see where they laid him, where they laid the body. Bring me to Lazarus so I may see his body laying cold, dead in the tomb. Let's go together and look at Lazarus, the dead man. He's a corpse. All the life has gone out of his body. You need to go closer. Touch him. Feel the coldness of his skin. Look at his face and see how pale it is. Pale as a sheet. Have you ever been to a viewing or to an open casket funeral? We don't do them very often anymore because our society can't handle death. It's afraid of death. When I was younger, I saw many bodies at funerals. Pale as a sheet, lifeless. And it's important that we see the dead body. You have to see it to get a real sense of the fact that your loved one is gone. His soul is gone from the body. Life torn away, never to come back. And you can do nothing to change it. But it's not just that there's no life in Lazarus' body. It's worse. This passage is graphic. His body has begun to decompose. His flesh is starting to rot. The bacteria and the worms are beginning to breed in his corpse. And his tomb, this little cave, is being filled with the stench of his rotting body. And the body is wrapped in the grave clothes, bound hand and foot, covered again by the stone on the opening of the tomb. Do you see him? Do you see his cold, lifeless body? Do you smell Lazarus in the grave? Do you smell yourself? His corpse is but a picture, a dim picture of what you are on the inside. He's lost his physical life, but you, sinner, have lost your soul to death. His body rots on the outside. Your soul rots on the inside. You have been cut off from God by your sin, cut off from the source of life. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, Paul says. You're deader and more rotten than Lazarus. And so, Paul says too, that your life here on earth is filled walking in these sins. Now don't tell me that you're not a sinner. Don't tell me that you've lived a good, nice life so far. That you have a nice family, you live in a nice home with two cars in the garage, and you're a good neighbor. You're a sinner. Even the best of people in our society and in our world, the very best, have done all kinds of things that God calls sin. You've lied, you've cheated. If nothing else, you've done things to hurt your friends and family. And all of this stinks to high heaven. Your life stinks. You're put off a stench worse than Lazarus. And he had been rotting in the grave for 4 days. But you've been sinning since birth. How old are you? 10, 20, 40, 50? How long have you been rotting in your sin? Do you see how horrible your situation is in the corpse of Lazarus? And do you see that you can do nothing, nothing at all to save yourself? No more than Lazarus can rise out of that grave. No more can you lift a finger to save yourself from your sin. You see, if you were sick, you might take some medicine. But Lazarus is not sick. Jesus allows him to die so that you can see how hopeless this is. If Lazarus were merely sick, he might take medicine. You might take some medicine and get better. But no, you're dead in your sin. And dead men can do nothing for themselves. So what are you going to do about it? Sinners, what can you do about it? You're bound hand and foot by the chains of your sin. even as Lazarus was bound in his grave clothes. You can do nothing to set yourself free. Actually, nothing. So what do you need? You need to meet the one who can set you free. You need to meet Jesus, the one who is in himself the resurrection and the life. And guess what? Jesus is standing right outside your grave, your walking tomb, weeping, weeping over your dead soul. So moved was Jesus, so deeply did he feel your plight as a sinner, that he came to save you. He saw you in your trouble, filthy as and rotten as you were, as awful as your situation is. Jesus is far greater than this. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus loves sinners like you and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And oh, how he loves them. He loves sinners of all stripes. We see him coming in the Gospels to love criminals, prostitutes, Pharisees, and ordinary people. And see how great that love is. A love so great that the people around him saw it. Verse 36, see how he loved him. A sinner, dead, rotting in the grave. See how he loved him. It is this wonderful, marvelous love of Jesus which moved him to come and to die on a cross for sinners. You see, Jesus is life in himself. He's the Son of God, God in himself. He has eternal life in himself, and that God came to earth and hung on a cross, submitted himself to death for sinners. He, the author and maker of life, came and submitted to death. He came and he stood at the doorway of death, just outside a tomb. It's a hint, you see, at what is to come, because he's going to go and die on a cross and be himself buried in a tomb. And he did all this out of his love for you and I. So come, come and meet Jesus. See how great his love is for sinners. Meet him and be changed. Lazarus was. Come, meet Jesus who says to you, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. You must come to know this Jesus, to experience him and the power of his resurrection life. Lazarus did. He met Jesus one day and it changed him forever. We're not told about that day that he met Jesus. We don't know when he heard the gospel, but one day he met him and came to believe in Jesus, to trust that Jesus was the Savior of sinners, and to trust that he had come to take his sins away. He met Jesus and believed that he was the one who could give him life eternal, not just life for a dead body physically, but life for his soul. And because he believed in Jesus, he got it. He received life. Lazarus experienced this in a remarkable way. He got sick and he died. Jesus allowed his body to die so that he could show Lazarus and his disciples and us something special, that he could raise the dead. And he allowed Lazarus to get all the way dead, not just a little bit dead, not just mostly dead. You know, when a person's mostly dead, you can take them to the hospital and they zap them with these electrical paddles and they can bring them back to life, they call it. Resuscitating. Well, he's only mostly dead. He's not all the way dead. Lazarus was all the way dead. 4 days in the tomb, body rotten, dead. And Jesus stood outside Lazarus' tomb. And he commanded that the stone be removed in spite of the smell. And he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And with that one loud call, Lazarus' heart began to beat again. The blood began to flow in his veins again. Death was reversed into life. His rotting body was whole again. The smell was gone. He was healed. He climbed out of the hole. He was alive. But as wonderful as Lazarus' living body is, Lazarus had received something far greater than physical life. Lazarus was no longer dead, not just in his body, but in his soul. He was alive now on the inside. Jesus, in the raising of Lazarus, had shown himself to be what he had just claimed to be. He had told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." And in raising Lazarus from the dead, he had proved it. And Lazarus believed this. And because he believed this, Jesus raised him from the dead, not just on the outside, but on the inside. Lazarus was reborn. That's what God does to our hearts. Dead, filthy, stinking hearts. He raises them to life. They need that life. And Jesus has it. And He can give it. And what is more, once Jesus gives you that life, eternal life, no one can take it from you. Lazarus' body died. It's true. There was a time at the end of Lazarus' life when he died again. But then he went to be with Jesus in heaven. And there Lazarus lives forever. That's the "will never die" part of Jesus' promise. It's an eternal, heavenly life that Jesus gives. And it's real life. Not physical life that's temporary, but eternal life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And Lazarus proves it. There is hope for you, sinner. Hope found in Jesus alone. So listen to what Martha says. Remember what Martha did immediately after hearing those wonderful words of life. What does Martha do? She goes to her sister Mary and she says, "The Master is calling you, Mary. Go quickly to Him." Oh, sinner, the Master is calling you. Go quickly to Him. Don't wait. Don't delay. Go to Jesus. Run to Him. Believe in Him. Only He can raise your dead heart and make it alive again. Be warned. It's not enough to see a man raised from the dead. There are those who believed, but we also read of those who did not believe. Verse 46, "Some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done." They went to the Pharisees because they rejected Jesus. They rejected His resurrection and His life, even though they'd seen it with their very own eyes. They ignored it. It's not enough to see a man raised from the dead. Jesus has to raise your heart up to life. Every time that Christ is preached from pulpits, He is speaking. Jesus is speaking from heaven to sinners here on earth. When we preach His gospel, you come face to face with Jesus. Face to face with the One who is Himself the resurrection and the life. Will you see Him? Will you be changed as Lazarus was? Or will you hear? Will you see Him and ignore it? But you may say, "My heart is dead. It's laid out like a corpse in a tomb with a stone weighing it down." That's true. And you may say, "I can't raise myself up." That's right. You can't, but you've come face to face with the One who can. So plead with Him. Cry out to Him. Say, "Jesus, come and save me. Come change my heart. Make me to believe in You." And don't wait. Come now before it's too late. Because Jesus is calling out to you today. Today, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, O sinner? Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, raise our dead hearts. Give us life so that we may believe in you. Give us faith that we may be saved and have eternal life. And help us to leave this world behind and follow you and only you. Amen.